Coming to you from 4,200 feet in the hills of Oregon, it is the voice of Chi-Town, the reddest beard in the high desert, your host of the MOA broadcast, Sam Wilson. Welcome to the show, folks. Glad to have you along today. We've got a great show lined up, all kinds of good information, a couple of bullet points. Let's get to it. We have yet another Florida man story. Florida is the state that just keeps, it is the gift that keeps on giving. I don't know what they do down there, but frankly, I'm kind of starting to like it. They kind of get down, man, and they do whatever it is they're going to do. We've got more subway attacks in New York, the city that is turning itself more and more into the movie Escape from New York every day. Cultured meat. Do you even know what that is? Cultured meat. It's facing more opposition. We're going to get into that later. For once, we encounter a properly prepared hiker. Looking forward to that one. We've also got some listener emails today. Some of you have finally started writing in. Don't forget, if you want to get your questions or comments on the show, info@gearconvoy.com. And finally, did masks really help during COVID? Now, a lot of controversy there, but we're going to just get to the facts as purported by several clinical studies. So let's get to it. We go first to Tampa, Florida. The headline alone is all you need to know. Florida man accused of setting fire to strip club and throwing urine-filled bottle at cop. I mean, okay, you know what? Let's just get to it. Tampa police said that the gunman fired his weapon multiple times inside the empty Pink Pony Showgirls strip club in Tampa at around 5 a.m. on Wednesday and intentionally set it on fire. Folks, you're in a bad spot if you're showing up with firearms and arson tools to a strip club at 5 a.m. in Tampa, Florida. Let's just get that established right off the bat. The story continues. Cops responded within minutes and apprehended the suspect as he was dragging brush into the burning structure, a Tampa police spokesperson said. Pictures from the scene showed smoke billowing out of the building. Officers say they retrieved a handgun from the suspect they name as Arvin. I can't even pronounce his last name. No disrespect. Allegedly, after he was taken into custody. Tampa police say that when he was in custody, he complained he was thirsty and was given a water bottle by officers. It is alleged he damaged a camera inside the police holding area, urinated in the empty bottle, and threw it at an officer. That is disgusting. Why would you? I mean, clearly this guy's got some stuff going on. I don't know if it's intoxication, some mental issues, or whatever, but he urinated in an empty bottle and threw it at an officer. That is disgusting. That is also a felony in most places, by the way. He is now facing charges of arson with injury, shooting within a building, weapon possession during a felony, battery on an officer, and criminal mischief. He was taken to Orient Road Jail. I don't even know. I mean, man, what a disgusting thing to do. Can you imagine just doing your job? I don't know how they divide their shifts up there, but at 5 o'clock a.m., I would imagine guys are either just winding down on, guys and gals, winding down on night shift or just getting started on day shift. I don't know how they have their shifts staggered there, but can you imagine you're in the last hour or two of your shift and all of a sudden you've got an arson to deal with, gunshots, and some guy throwing a water bottle filled with urine on you? Ugh, what a crappy way to end or begin your shift. Either way, there's no winning that one. Okay, we go next to Manhattan, a subway assault. Teens beat man bloody for $15 in cash at subway station. Manhattan detectives are investigating a brutal subway beating on a Wednesday morning in which a group of teens attacked and robbed a man for a pittance of cash. Nice word. Well played there, reporter. Law enforcement sources said the bloody assault occurred on the mezzanine of the Canal Street station in Chinatown at about 4:25 a.m. on March 12. Are you seeing a pattern, a theme here? A lot of these stories, they happen between 2 and 5 a.m. It's like your parents used to tell you, nothing good happens after midnight or after whatever hour it was they said. It's basically true. A lot of these stories happened during that time. So what happened? According to police, a group of six unidentified teens approached the victim, a 38-year-old man, and went on the attack, punching and kicking him about the body. Following the assault, authorities said the assailants forcibly removed $15 in cash and his debit card from his hand. Another news source reported that the suspects had also stolen marijuana from the victim, but police sources could not immediately confirm that detail. They then took off from the platform and were last seen entering a Q train at the Canal Street stop. Man, what a shame. Officers from the 5th Precinct and NYPD Transit District 2 responded to the incident. EMS rushed the wounded man to Bellevue Hospital, where he was listed in stable condition. So imagine you're just sitting there waiting for your train at Canal Street. So what a shame, right? There's all kinds of good things they could have been doing there at Canal Street. Maybe not that particular hour of the night or early morning, however you want to put it. I used to live in New York, and when I would, like, let's say I took a Saturday and just wanted to go to the city, okay? So if you're not from New York, if you lived in Brooklyn or Queens or wherever, Manhattan was referred to as the city. And you would take, you know, depending on what you wanted to do, like, let's say I was going to spend a Saturday, I would take the train in there. Canal Street was a great stop. So you're right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of Chinatown, all right? What was the name of the place that we used to go to? So I used, at the time, I was professionally restoring antiques and other pieces of furniture. So I would get off of Canal Street and take a walk over to, that was this place called Blix B-L-I-C-K-S, art supplies type of store. It was, if it's the same one that was there then, it was huge. It was like 3 or 4, maybe 5 stories of just all kinds of really neat, unique art supplies, specific badger hair type brushes, all kinds of different colorants and dyes, and just all kinds of stuff that you could use in any artistic endeavor. And I love going to that place. And I like taking the train. I would get off, you know, usually a couple stops before. I like to walk to places. In Chinatown, one of my favorite things to do was go to one of the Chinese places and get a cup of noodles. I had no idea what I was buying at the time, but I mean, it was a cup of noodles. It was in Chinatown. It was delicious. And it was like $2.50 for this big old, almost a quart size cup of noodles and broth. Delicious. You would go in the stores, you would see the ducks and chickens and all the other different stuff hanging that was, you know, had been slaughtered and was drying in the window or whatever. It was just a really neat experience. One time, in fact, it was the first year that I arrived in New York. I just happened to walk into Chinatown during Chinese New Year festival. It was really cool. Just the dancing, fireworks, all kind of stuff. You know, I don't know exactly what the festival was exactly about. Obviously, it's a New Year festival, but it lasted for several days or a week or two. I can't remember. But they would have a really, really amazing parades. Very artistic, very acrobatic, really cool. Then, after that, I would go and get a slice or two of pizza along the way to this place I used to go called Paragon Sports. Now, Paragon, I don't know what it's like today, but at the time it was very cool. One of the few places I've ever been that had a substantial collection of custom knives and high-end knives and stuff. Me being a knife maker, I wasn't back then, but I am now. It was of high interest to me, very cool. So Paragon Sports is really neat. That was one of the first places that I saw several high-end knives that I'd only seen at knife shows before. My dad and me were both knife collectors, so that was really neat to be able to see a place in person. Ironically, all of those knives are probably illegal to carry in New York City now, or maybe they were then, I don't know. But yeah, really interesting. Anyway, before I get off too far off track, that was all if he'd gotten off at the Canal Street station and if these young gentlemen had just gone and seen the sights. All kinds of good things they could have done instead of beating this poor 38-year-old man to a pulp and taking his $15 and allegedly some marijuana. So far, no arrests have been made in the ongoing investigation, police said. Man, what a shame. Crime has always been a problem in New York, any big city. We're not trying to overly pick on any place. But man, the continuing saga of escape from New York, the movie that has now become a reality in New York City, it shows no signs of slowing down. What an insane place. I can't even imagine living there and working there now. Man, you know, that reminds me of, so there was six on one, according to this. We don't know exactly up to how many assailants there were. It says six. There could have been a little more, a little less, whatever, depending on witness statements. I don't know if they pulled surveillance. They probably did. I mentioned a couple of episodes ago about whenever I was accosted by a guy not too long ago over his dog. It was a whole long thing. But anyways, this is the interesting thing that you've got to remember when you deal with something like a street fight. If you're a grown adult, you should be avoiding those types of confrontations at almost all costs. And aside from the economic and the legal ramifications, you never know what's going to happen in a street fight. And so, as just a quick refresher, some guy came running after me, screaming and yelling, threatening my life and my safety and so forth, because his dog jumped out of his truck and was attacking my dog, or trying to, at the end of its leash, tied in the bed of the truck. And so I did the first thing that you should, in my opinion, you should almost always do when feasible, is create distance. So I crossed the street and got away from the whole mess. This guy's yelling and screaming and everything else. So anyways, I was able to just, I disengaged and walked away, because I have nothing to gain by getting in any type of altercation with somebody who appeared to be possibly under the influence to me by the way they were acting. Now, I finished my walking my dog around the neighborhood, and when I came back on the way through, there were two people that I spoke with on the sidewalk. Both of them approached me, not vice versa, and told me separately that had that guy attacked me, they had been watching the whole thing, and they said had that guy attacked me, they were both going to jump in and get involved. Now, this was unsolicited by me. I didn't tell them or ask them or approach them. They came to me and told me this. And one of them told me he was just looking for a reason to hurt somebody that day. Right or wrong, that's what happened. So what is the point? You never, ever know what's going to happen in an altercation like that, especially on some place like the street. New York, well, it doesn't matter whether it's New York or Oregon, wherever. You never know who else is watching. I saw a number of people watching this whole thing unfold. But they came to me and told me, both of them, that they were going to get involved. And one of them basically said, I forget his exact words, but he was in a very bad place and he was just looking to hurt somebody. So you avoid these altercations at all costs. You know, it's something that we see in like action movies and stuff, especially if you grew up in the 80s, 90s. You know, the good guy, somebody would kind of get in his face or whatever, and then he winds up beating up this group of bullies or whatever. Guys, that's fantasy. That's a movie. If you're a grown person, you've got something to lose. If you've been paying your bills, you have a place to live and you have a job and all this, you have something to lose, not just your health, but legally and other manners, you have things to lose. Why in the world would you want to get involved in street altercations with people that most likely or more than likely have nothing to lose? So get out of there. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if I shared that or not a couple of weeks ago, that both of those guys approached me and told me that they were going to get involved and attack him, not me. They were going to assist me, was their words. Now, would they? Who knows? But that's what they said. And you never know where somebody else, what they're going through, what's going on in their life and where they're at mentally, or whether they're on some sort of substance that would alter their judgment. You never know. So get out of there. You don't want to get into those street fights. This ain't a movie. Okay, here we go. Now, next story. Another state bans lab-grown meat. We go to South Dakota. South Dakota has a new law that will prohibit the use of public tax dollars for researching or purchasing cultivated meats. The representative who sponsored and introduced the bill, HB 1118, if that's how they say it there, in South Dakota's House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee was signed into law by Governor Larry Rodin and goes into effect July 1. Excuse me a moment. Okay. I had to wet my whistle. Pardon me. South Dakota is one of a number of growing states where the legislatures have taken efforts to place restrictions on cultivated meat to protect their own animal agriculture interests. Other states to do so include Florida, Alabama, and Nebraska. Now, interesting part. What, you may ask, is cultured meat? Or excuse me, cultivated meat, aka cultured meat or lab-grown meat? I had looked this up. I'd heard of it, but I'd never really researched it because it was nothing at all that I was interested in. The pictures of it look disgusting. I don't know if those are just images that are put up to discourage people or to, you know, give it a bad rap. I don't know. Maybe it looks very similar to actual meat at some point. I have no idea. All I know is the images that I saw, it looked disgusting. So, cultured meat, also known as lab-grown or cell-based meat, is a form of meat that is produced by cultivating animal cells in a controlled environment outside of a living animal, rather than traditional animal agriculture. How it's made? Scientists take a small sample of cells from a living animal, often muscle cells. These cells are then grown in a laboratory setting in a nutrient-rich environment called a bioreactor. I am not making this up. This sounds like something from The Fly with the Jeff Goldblum movie. A bioreactor where they grow nutrient-rich meat cells or muscle cells. The cells multiply and differentiate into muscle and fat tissue, forming the meat product. Okay, that sounds disgusting to me. I have less than zero desire to even taste that. Hopefully I haven't already. You never know where this stuff is being put. It could be in some food already that we don't know of, but what on earth? Of course, if you do some research, like I've said before, at the MOA broadcast here, we're not here to tell you what to think. Sometimes I will share opinions, but when it comes to the news, especially on the political side of things, we're just going to do what the news used to do in the years past, which is present the information. You draw your own conclusions on what you think. That being said, my personal opinion is this sounds disgusting to me. I have less than zero interest or desire in eating something like that, and I can't imagine what the long-term ramifications may or may not be for putting that stuff in your body. What is wrong with just eating regular animals the way we've been doing it for thousands of years? Because, you know, things always get better when we completely ignore a naturally existing product like a cow or pork or chicken and start feeding people a version that is grown in a lab somewhere, cooked up literally in a lab. That, I can't even imagine. But there's got to be, that's got to be some interesting long-term. I don't know if we have truly long-term results on this yet, but you know, this is what happens when man goes in there and starts messing around with things and says, you know what, we don't like the natural existing version of this that has been around with us for thousands of years or longer. We're going to go produce a version in a laboratory and then feed it to people, and I guess we'll see what happens. Just like butter and margarine, right? When margarine came out, this was supposed to be the greatest thing ever. And now we're learning all kinds of issues with the seed oils and the other things that are involved in the production of margarine. Have you ever tried to feed margarine to an animal? Every time I've ever tried it, they won't even touch the stuff. But my dog and cat both enjoy eating butter. Okay? So take that where you will, but though that's my personal experience. They will not touch margarine or foods cooked in some of these oils, but butter they enjoy. Artificial sweeteners. We're not going to have time. I'm going to have to cut all kinds of stuff. We're already running over time on this episode. But let's not forget two other products. We're going to get into one of these here in a minute. Sliced cheese products. You all know what these are like when you go to the supermarket and there are these individually packaged in plastic pieces of cheese product. And then coffee creamers. Again, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. What is already existing naturally is almost always, or in many, many cases, better. Coffee creamers, the artificial coffee creamers, look at the ingredients list on these. There's all kinds of ingredients and words, chemicals you cannot pronounce. What I add to my coffee, you may not have tried that. I started doing this originally in about 2001. Is adding butter to my coffee. You may think that sounds weird. I usually drink my coffee black. I don't always take sugar. If I'm going to take sugar in there, I like the sugar in the raw or the turbinado sugar. It's almost like a type of brown sugar. You should try it. It gives a very, very good flavor. I don't really like the flavor of white sugar in coffee, but the raw sugar and the turbinado sugar are both delicious. Okay. Usually, though, I don't add sugar. That's once in a blue moon. But on the first 2 cups of coffee each day, I'll typically add between a teaspoon and a tablespoon of grass-fed butter. You should try it sometime. There's all kind of different recipes and names for this type of coffee, but it's very simple. You just add between a teaspoon and a tablespoon of grass-fed butter. There's almost no ingredients. You're basically, it's milk. It's the fatty portion of the milk is what butter is. It gets churned up, okay, or the cream, however you want to put it. But there's no other stuff added. Whether you use salted or unsalted is up to you. But the grass-fed butter, it adds a creamy flavor to it. My personal experience is it feels like it slows down. I can't be sure, but it feels like it slows down the absorption of the caffeine and whatnot into your system because my stomach doesn't get... I typically drink about a liter of coffee each morning and then more throughout the day. I drink a lot of coffee. Whenever I add the butter to the first couple of cups, my stomach doesn't get upset the way it occasionally does if I just drink straight black coffee on an empty stomach. That being said, the fats and such are supposed to be good for your body for the absorption. Do some research. We don't have time in this episode to get deeply into it. We'll address it again another time. But give it a try. Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we've got some fan mail, the plastic sliced cheese and COVID masks. So get ready. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, you want to get your questions or comments on the show, info@gearconvoy.com. More Make It Out Alive with Sam Wilson after this.